Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.
This is CBS Eye on the World, the New World Report, with Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil, Joseph Umar, executive director of Secure Free Society. The end of a very, very significant year in the life of South and Central America, with large elections, with changes of direction, with what is apparently... A trend towards the populist left. And yet, here at year's end, there's turmoil aplenty. So, Ernesto, I begin with you because Brazil, the most populous, the most powerful state in all of the New World after the United States, looks to a new president who was an old president, Lula da Silva, old as in previously, and also a senior figure, come January 1st, and the stepping aside of President Bolsonaro. Although it's not clear to me that he leaves politics, he has many sympathetic friends and nearly half the vote. So what is your estimate of what you learned about Brazil in this last year? What is it? What has Brazil achieved? What has it left unfinished?
So, John, this was a tragic year, I think, for Brazil. We are about to see the consolidation of what I call the dictatorship of the proletariat, to make a pun with the dictatorship of the proletariat. I think that's the means for a very radical left-wing scheme to take power in Brazil, not through the traditional revolution of the proletariat, but through the consolidation of the corrupt mechanisms that have been there in Brazil for a long time. We have a big divorce between the people and the institutions, Supreme Court, Congress, and now also the executive in the hands of Lula very shortly. They play a game that's basically about a bigger or smaller share for different groups of the money, of the revenue of the country, of the political and economic resources. And the people are supposed just to be there and accept anything. And if you go and protest, you are a fascist, you are anti-democratic, you are about to be arrested or having your livelihood jeopardized. So we clearly have the Supreme Court on top of this system in alliance with the Lula and his political current, but the rest of the political parties and the political class also as part of that same scheme. So Bolsonaro might become the leader of the opposition, but this opposition would be only nominal. There's no one or only a few scattered people who don't count, basically. There's no one willing to do opposition to Lula. The political class, they only want a larger share of the cake, so to say, of this corrupt cake. So, unfortunately, we're at. And as for the region, the role that Brazil could play, and we tried to play that in 2018, 2020, in favor of democracy and in favor of market-oriented policies and against organized crime in the region, will no longer be played by Brazil.
I'd like to mention one detail that emerged from our conversations through the years, Ernesto, especially this last year. There was constantly reminders before the election that the military could intervene, that at any moment Bolsonaro could lead a military coup like happened in the 20th century for many years. None of that has happened. In addition, the reporting about the protesters charging the National Police Headquarters in Brasilia, there was no suggestion that the Brazilian police, the National Police, were going to turn against the elected president. In fact, we had protests, we had violence, but at no point did the military enter into it. I think that's an achievement, but it also suggests that all those headlines were either deliberately false or naive. Which is it?
They were deliberately false, I'm pretty sure. They wanted to depict Bolsonaro as an authoritarian. That was from day one of the administration. He never undertook any action against the Constitution or that might jeopardize the Constitution. On the opposite, he always has this tendency to abide by even illegal decisions and unconstitutional decisions of the Supreme Court. He has done that. He has never done anything against that. So that was never going to happen. That was never the plan of anyone. The military, they are basically, they want just peace and quiet, I think. When people would expect them to intervene against fraudulent or maybe fraudulent election or against this former corrupt president that might go into power. And I think that speaks a lot also about the power of the mainstream media to create their narratives out of nothing, but out of political interest. They wanted to take Bolsonaro away from the international community to depict Bolsonaro in the international community as an authoritarian. And this was never the case. So one good thing is that the mainstream media is proved wrong this time once more.
Joseph, we go to Mexico, the second largest state after Brazil from Central and South America. And the current headline tells the story. Mexican President Andrés Manuel López Obrador criticized a state of emergency imposed in Peru to tackle violent protests, slamming the U.S. ambassador to Lima for meeting South American country's new leader, President Boluarte. This raises the issue of what Mexico has achieved this year, what AMLO has achieved this year, the year of 2022. It would appear from outside that AMLO is now the de facto leader of the center left, despite the fact that he's leaving office soon enough and can't run for a second term. So what has Mexico, what has AMLO achieved this last year? What has he left undone?
So I think the big news of Mexico in 2022 has been its break in its diplomatic tradition of non-intervention. Mexico has a long tradition of basically not meddling in the foreign affairs of other countries. They're very proud. Their foreign ministry is very proud of that tradition. But AMLO has shown that that's not the case anymore. And we could go all the way back to the summit that they held inside Mexico City, the CELAC summit, where he invited the dictator Nicolas Maduro to a meeting of democratic leaders, which caused a lot of controversy. This was in September of this year. We could go to AMLO's support of the Castro regime or the Cuban dictatorship during the uprising and protest that the people were having against that regime because of the lack of freedoms. We could go to more recently what we're talking about today about his support of President Castillo and his previous support of Evo Morales. AMLO has shown to be a regional actor, a regional player. Now, some may look at that as positive because they want Mexico to maybe be more active in regional politics. But it doesn't go with Mexico's foreign policy tradition. They usually don't get as involved as they have been under AMLO, specifically in 2022. And what it does is it kind of distracts from the internal problems that Mexico's having. Mexico's economy is not doing as well as he likes to project. Obviously, the border issues that we have on the United States, it conflicts on both sides of the border. Obviously, it's a big problem for the United States. We've had record numbers of encounters and apprehensions on our U.S. southern border. But the problem from the Mexico side is that creates a huge industry of human smuggling, of human trafficking, and all kinds of different illicit activities, which is a problem for Mexico. And I think in many respects, I think AMLO is a disaster when it comes to his governing abilities. But what we've seen in 2022 is that governing is only part of what people are being judged by. We can look at him like a disaster, but those that are aligned with AMLO, which includes Cuba, it includes Maduro, it includes Castillo, Petro, and now probably Lula, look at him as a way to be able to advance this regional objective to, quote unquote, integrate the region, but integrate it in a way that's anti-U.S. and tied to criminal actors. And I think that that's what we're seeing from Mexico, and they're kind of leading the charge on that.
Venezuela. Ernesto, the news last week was openly that the oil minister of Venezuela was meeting with the oil minister of Russia to discuss working together into the future. It's hardly been a secret, but this time it was a press release. Nicolas Maduro emerges as the strongman of Venezuela, a neighbor of Brazil, but also a dominant state in terms of relations with Colombia, with Brazil, with Cuba, and the rest of the center left. What do you measure that's been achieved by the Maduro regime this year, in 2022? And do you perceive Maduro growing stronger in 23?
I do perceive him growing much, much stronger, especially due to Lula in power in Brazil. Lula is going not only to give political and diplomatic support to Maduro, but certainly economic support. Lula is about to appoint one of the top leaders of the Workers' Party to head the National Development Bank in Brazil, which has a portfolio of about $100 billion and will certainly go back to financing all sorts of totalitarian narco-socialist regimes across the region, starting with Venezuela. So Brazil will become the, let's say, the milk cow of the narco-socialism in the region once more, together with China, of course, as the as a main provider from out of the region. But in the region, it's going to be Brazil. So I think totalitarianism won the World Cup of geopolitics, and democracy lost. Okay, it's not only a question of Brazil or Venezuela, and Maduro was the center forward player of the totalitarian team, at least in Latin America. So they won. They won this cup. We have to rally and reassemble and think what to do, those of us who care about democracy and freedom, because this one we lost to the axis that comes from Beijing to Moscow to Tehran to Caracas and now to Brasilia. We have to admit defeat and lick our wounds and go for the next match.
I believe Lula da Silva's interim government, well, he's president-elect, but he's talking about a appointments of diplomatic relations again with Caracas. Do you expect Brazil to welcome the same foreign actors that Caracas welcomes, Moscow, Tehran, Beijing? Do you expect them to all have new roles in Brasilia?
Well, definitely. They will play a much stronger role in Brazil, a much more explicit role. China, through their investment and trade, they already control a large portion of the Brazilian Congress, maybe our other institutions in Brazil as well, state governments to a large extent. Russia is apparently very much infiltrated in Brazil together with Cuba. They are going to play from that strength that they already have in a more explicit way. I see Brazil working with China and Russia to expand the BRICS project, both in terms of new countries. I think they will try to incorporate all the countries of South America into BRICS, also Iran, but also in terms of what the group does. I'm certain that they will try to expand the functioning of BRICS to really be some sort of totalitarian OECD. I don't know what India will still do there. It's a democratic country after all. But I think they're going to build some sort of model of corrupt international governance from the basis of BRICS. That's what I foresee.
I'm speaking with Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil, and Joseph Umar, executive director of Secure Free Society. We're doing year-end summaries of the large states of South and Central America. When we come back, Colombia. This is CBS Eye on the World, the New World Report. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.